Make it sound fiction. This is episode 27. And this week this week and every other week, we are the podcast that picks apart pop culture and media that we like. No take backs. I'm your host, Nico, and I'm joined here every week by my co-host,
Tyler.
And we're going to start off 2019 looking bright and positive and wonderful. And that's why we're going to talk about sexism in gaming.
Yep. It's finally real.
It's been proven that sexism in gaming is real. Finally, we have the definitive answer.
Yep.
I'm so excited. I didn't know
what. Oh, there was a lot of rumors up until now.
Yeah, I know. I was not sure up until what point why my life felt so shitty, and now I know.
Yep.
And it's wild. I finally have a name to all the things I don't like. It's sexism. And so I don't think we actually wanted to talk about this week, but it's sort of.
Yeah, I mean, not in the way that, like, I don't know. It's weird. I think it's just because it's not new, really, is the thing.
Isn't.
So it feels like, I don't know how you would describe it, but it just feels weird to talk about it despite it being notable this week. Nothing about it really is new. I mean, unsurprisingly, it was sort of, I don't know. Well, also it literally happened like yesterday.
So to kind of give a rundown of what exactly we're talking about, but I think we're going to kind of cover a couple of things.
Yeah. The specifics of this whole thing are its own thing. I don't know.
They are its own thing, yeah. But it kind of highlights an ongoing problem that's been happening in competitive games and esports and Overwatch League and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So a couple of weeks ago, like maybe 2 weeks ago at this point,
it's like the 21st
Overwatch,
or something, yeah.
21st, yeah, like right before Christmas. An Overwatch contenders team, so not Overwatch League, but the kind of like the tier down, so tier two.
Yeah.
So I would kind of think of it, for people that aren't very familiar with esports, think of Overwatch League as the major leagues of baseball, and contenders would be like AAA ball.
Yeah.
It's where a lot of Overwatch teams will like pull up from a contenders team, or they'll have somebody on their team that
There's actually a lot of Overwatch League players that got dropped that are in contenders this season.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, they got dropped back down to contenders. It's kind of part of this whole overarching thing called like Overwatch Path to Pro.
Yeah.
Which is like you get into an open content, you know, like an open division team, and then you work your way up to contenders, and then you know have
contenders
a shot
doesn't
at, like,
have like I don't know if they don't have like set like casters and stuff, right? Or do they?
No, they don't.
They don't. And their stream sort of whatever the time zones are, like it's not as like specific as Overwatch League, so
it's not. And a lot of people,
it's also LAN.
Like,
it's not LAN anymore. It's just like people are not playing together necessarily.
Yeah. So there's not
versus
as many
Overwatch
things like
League.
Team houses, and there's no like huge buy-in for teams on like Overwatch League. So it's not as official, but it's still a pretty big deal because there's a lot of teams in different regions.
I mean, there's a whole contenders team that is just basically an Overwatch League team, a new team for season two, right?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Which is
Runaways,
I think.
Yeah,
Runaways. Plus a lot of Overwatch Apex teams, which was the kind of the Korean league that existed before Overwatch League was formed. A lot of them got basically turned into contenders.
It's something
teams,
to keep
basically.
An eye on, I feel like. If you're into Overwatch League or you're interested, it's good to keep an eye on contenders a bit, even if you don't necessarily watch it. We both don't really watch contenders.
Yeah, but a lot of contenders players got turned into Overwatch League players.
They're
this
very
year
connected,
because,
even if contenders is the lower tier. So
it's a germinating environment for esports play. Basically, it's
but also
you know,
we
it's,
both had not heard of Second Wind before this. I
no,
think,
no, we had
which
never heard
team.
Of this team.
Yeah.
So in the North American region, because there is a couple of different contenders regions, like Korea,
they split
Korea,
them up,
China,
unlike
Japan,
Overwatch League,
Pacific, Europe, North America.
Yeah,
there's an Overwatch contenders team called Second Wind, and Second Wind picked up this woman named Ellie.
Yeah, and which at first was a little abnormal because usually, I mean, everybody uses the names of like the player names, like the usernames or whatever. But usually you get the full name of the person.
Yeah.
So that was a little weird at the beginning, too, when they picked Ellie up. But it was
kind of understood that they weren't giving out her name because of, they said, was pretty rampant issues with, you know, harassment. And it was a security thing. And it was like, and that to me, that's understandable.
Yeah.
If I was a woman in competitor, like a competitive, like semi-pro or pro, you know, everybody knowing my name would be like, yeah. I mean, I use a pen name for a lot of stuff.
Well, and also and whenever people, whenever teams just announce stuff on Twitter about the, who they picked up, it often is just like the Twitter handle or their name in the game.
Yeah.
Like, they
yeah.
don't, even for the guys, they don't usually say their name. I mean, yeah, you usually can find kinda, their name, but
I don't know people's real names in Overwatch League or whatever. I don't care to know, I guess. But like, so they picked up this woman and right off the bat, we hear people very skeptical of her because she kind of came out of nowhere. She didn't have a huge record in the competitive
ladder.
She was
a DPS player, which people don't believe women can play women for can some play reason.
DPS. The women don't get picked up as DPS players, apparently.
And it was a name, because the thing with Overwatch, I think that is part of the reason why people said this, but it also doesn't matter, is because, like, a lot of the people in the top 500 rank, which are the people that will be in contenders in Overwatch League, because that's where people get plucked from, they're usually names you see a lot because, like, streams and, like, everybody's heard of, like, Defran and, like, Calvin or whatever. Like, people's names show up a lot.
They usually have an established audience.
Yeah, like, even, if, as, like even as a spectator or a viewer like me, you know, like, I know the names of these random people in the top 500 games because I watch streams. So if one of those people are on a team, you know, I'll be like, oh, I remember that person from, like, a random stream because I saw their name, you know? So,
and yeah,
Ellie wasn't
a lot of,
one of those names.
A lot of top 500 people, because it's so small,
yeah, it's only
you always
people.
See the same people. You always see the same people showing
up on streams.
They're playing
with
streams.
Each other constantly, and, like, you know, you'll watch a stream, and the person you're watching will be like, great, they just have three contenders players, so it's going to be kind of a hard one, or what, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Or, like, great, they have four Overwatch League players that are on the same team. And they're all on the same team again. This competitive game, so this is going to be hard or whatever.
Yeah, and so people being skeptical of her not having a very long history, it seemed like a new account.
Yeah,
you know, like, so could it be a Smurf and things like that? For people who don't know, Smurf accounts are like an alt account that isn't your main. It usually doesn't have as many hours. It's usually, you know, it's basically like, a lot of people use Smurfs to just, like, play roles that they don't usually play, but also a lot of people play Smurfs to disguise who they are. A lot of top 500 people used to have Smurfs to shove into the top 500,
they
so they'd have,
do.
Like, four Smurfs. They still do.
Because there's a lot of times it's like, wait, who is this person in our game that's, like, really good at Genji? Oh, apparently it's, I don't know, whatever, some Genji Overwatch League player, but he's not talking and he's on his alt or whatever, you know, so.
Yeah. So sometimes top players use them as to kind of like disguise who they are, that sort of thing. And there's no real rules against it other than the fact that if you're going to be in the top 500, you have to validate your account with a phone number. Yeah.
And you have to play 15 down, games or whatever, too. So,
yeah. So it kind of cut down on a lot of like top 500 Smurfs.
Yeah. Because that was a
problem.
There was like, you know, Calvin had like five Smurfs in the top like 50. And so,
and
like,
that's taking slots.
Yeah.
You know, that's taking slots from other people potentially. So.
They cut down on that, but there's Smurfs are definitely a thing. So, like,
yeah.
So when you see names pop up, it could be somebody else.
So people thought right away that Ellie was a Smurf, but the kind of ferocity, and tactics that people were taking, like, there were people in Discords that we saw wanted to dox Ellie, wanted to, like, go to their, like, their house, you know, like, really fucked
nobody
up shit.
Wanted to believe that this woman was good enough for a contender's team and also DPS
and coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, coming out of nowhere. And people, and also, because, like, when we also say nowhere, part of this is, like, a lot of players stream, too, or, like, are on Twitter or something. So, like, I think that is part of the expectation, too, is, like, because, the part of the expectation is like that you stream too, so like people can see, like, you know, what you play and how you play. And so a lot of people were demanding that, like, she streamed, or oh my gosh, she doesn't even stream, is she real? And it was funny because, I mean, we'll get to it, but there was a statement later by that team after all this happened. And they even mentioned that, like, we prepared her to stream, you know, like, every, I don't know. It's just interesting that, like, that is an expectation, I guess, now. That, like, you gotta stream. Because everybody, that's what people were saying is, like, you know, like, do a stream so we can see.
Overwatch players, or Overwatch community, is notoriously skeptical and extremely paranoid that somebody didn't earn their way in, somebody's cheating, somebody must be, like, they feel like there has to be this certain level of, like, proof in order for you to, like, get where you are, because Overwatch is a pure meritocracy and only the best players make it to the top and they deserve to be there. So anybody who might have cheated their way in is fucking garbage and trash. And this definitely,
even if it is like balance, you know, like, people got mad when Mercy was sort of overpowered and people were getting in top 500 and that wasn't real enough either.
Because here's the thing. Overwatch is not a meritocracy. The competitive scene, not a meritocracy, because there are a lot of people who do not get picked for teams.
There are people who got picked for teams that only played other games and just got into Overwatch and just were, like, assumed to be good, like, from TF2.
No one made Pine prove that he was good at Overwatch despite jumping immediately from TF2.
Yeah, same thing
with Seagull. They just got in early. Yeah. They just literally got in early. But now we're established and it's a big deal and everybody's got to earn their way in. And so Ellie, you know, like, a lot of people were like, well, I was just skeptical because she just didn't have a history and she didn't stream. And how would I know? And she blah, blah. But let's be clear.
Yeah.
The skepticism was extremely intense because it was believed that she was a woman.
Yeah. Because she would have, if she would have been the first woman in NA contenders, I
contenders.
Think. Yeah.
Yeah, she would have been the first woman in NA
contenders. And they said there that. Are I think other they women. Said that in the there tweet, are, too, so people
Yeah, there are
that.
Other women in contenders, but they're in other regions, like, I think the Australian
region. Yeah, we should, there's a tweet that is, like, a full of all the people in contenders, all the women in contenders, we should link that, too. Yeah, but
we
yeah.
should link that, yeah. So,
Yeah, but so when they said that, people were like, oh my god, like, you know, obviously, like, you know, me and you were like, that's amazing, that's cool, like, there's
there's
a woman,
like,
in
a
contenders,
woman,
and they picked her up, and, like,
that's,
I don't know,
it's great.
Yeah, that's cool.
The fact that she didn't have a history wasn't a big deal to me, because guess what,
care.
A lot of women are gonna come out of quote-unquote nowhere, because guess what, streaming as a woman is fucking garbage, and competitive is garbage, so, you know, it made sense to me because I'm not intensely skeptical and I'm not intensely wrapped up in the idea that someone doesn't deserve to be there.
Yeah,
like,
also, like, the other part of this is, like, this team is a contenders team that I think has been around for a little bit. Like, you would, you know, there's some amount of trust that they would not just pick a random person that isn't actually good. Like, I mean, they all take from top 500 usually, and, like, I don't know. I don't know what things, like, structures are in place for them picking up players, but, like, I don't know. Like, if they pick somebody and announce that they're on their team, I would assume that they did the research that they're actually good.
They did
good.
The research and they vetted them. Yeah.
So, that's why I wasn't in the... Yeah, I know. This gets a little weird, but...
This is where it starts to get weird. This is where it's the... It became a perfect storm of a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
So, it came out... yesterday. So here's the thing. Prior to yesterday, Ellie got booted from her team.
Well, she stepped down.
Suddenly. Or she stepped down.
It was less than a week.
Down.
She hadn't played a game with them at all yet. And they were like, she's stepping down. And there was the Justin Hughes guy, the owner.
The owner saying that we had not, it was an unforeseen.
Unforeseen reactions.
Unforeseen reactions, and what he was basically saying was, like, the community's, like, absolute villainy towards this, like, fucking woman.
People
and the
were
skepticism.
Just not believing that she was good, but people were not believing that she was real.
Real.
Because she was in ranked games, and, like, there was a DeFran clip, a DeFran's, like, Atlanta Reigns DPS player, where he
and
was, like, I think...
Notorious shitbag,
what?
By the way. notorious shitbagged Fran. Yeah. Like
he there was a clip of him saying, like, cause she was in his game as like Reinhardt, and he was I don't know if he said like she talks late on every call she makes, but like he was essentially just saying like I think it's like her boyfriend or some guy playing for her,
or she's sitting next to him, and she's like talking like in
chat, because people had said that on like Reddit, like, oh, it's weird, I saw her in her game and she says people were like one HP or something but really late or whatever, so people just really didn't believe it.
So, in light of all those community reactions, she steps down. She tweets that she's sorry. That's it. She just tweets sorry.
Her bio said something like, her Twitter bio was like, I don't use a voice changer or whatever, leave me alone or whatever.
Yeah. And so, for everybody who had been kind of following this, and this includes a lot of women in the Overwatch community, what it appeared to be was another situation where a team or the community wanted to not really accept the reality of a woman being in a competitive position, because a lot of this happened the same way when Kegori joined Shanghai Dragons, or even earlier when she was still part of like UW Artisans and part of the Apex scene. People think she was cheating. People think that she was doing this or doing that, and she had to prove herself. But, like, it looked to me like the team had not really counted on, you know, picking up a woman might lead to harassment. Picking up a woman which might lead to them. Which
is surprising to me. Like,
it
looked really wow. I can't, like, you couldn't do it. Like, you didn't, like, you knew what you were signing up for, but apparently you couldn't do it. That's what it looked like.
Yeah. And the owner also made mention of the fact, and specifically laid blame at not just the people who were like harassing Ellie, but also like expecting her to be like the next like female messiah of esports.
Which sounds put exactly those two like things. The comments that like, I think maybe, I don't know if Monty said it, but like just sound like the comments that people made about like Shanghai Dragons.
No, that was Slasher.
Was it
that
Slasher? Was okay.
Slasher. Slasher was the one that was like, you're putting so much pressure on Giggity, and she doesn't want to be a female empowerment paragon, or she doesn't want to be a feminist icon. She just wants to be another esports player like everybody else, and how dare you bring up her gender? Because it's like, it's always this thing of like, well, good players are just good players, nothing to do with their gender. Yeah,
because I think the Justin Hughes guy with the second wind about Ellie said like, we thought people, or like, people just don't want to play her anymore, or something like that, which is like the same thing, like you're saying, like wait, like we're like Slasher said.
Like women can't be esports players because of their gender, but if a woman is a really good esports player, you can't be excited that she's an esports player, because good players are just good players, and you can't talk about her gender, and you, because I think that would also open the door for you having to talk about sexism, because sexism in esports
is very real. So
a woman's gender is always going to come up in the conversation when it comes to esports, because they make it part of the conversation. You cannot ignore it. It's not. It's a context. It's always going to be a context. It's never.
Yeah.
It's never not going to be important until this stuff becomes normalized.
So she was let go, or like she stepped down.
So it looked to everybody involved, to everybody in the community, on the one hand, for people who were like these massive skeptics, they were like super stoked about it.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, to every person who, you know, constantly saw women being chased out of esports because of harassment, it looked like it was yet another situation like that, where the pressure was too much, and one of the few that made it into the scene had to basically walk back out because people couldn't just fucking leave her alone. So it became like a big story. You know, places reported on it and things like that. That was at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it came out from a clip on a woman streamer named Aspen Stream.
She streams for Cloud9, I think.
Streams for Cloud9. Cloud9 is the esports organization that I believe owns London's Spitfire.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
She isn't. She doesn't play in Overwatch League or anything, though. She's just...
She's just like one of their streamers, yeah. She said that Ellie wasn't real, that Ellie wasn't a girl.
Yeah.
Ellie was, in fact, a no-name ladder competitive player top named Punisher. Top 500 player named Punisher, who wasn't on a team. He wasn't pro. He wasn't even semi-pro. He was just this dude. And that he had done it as a social experiment, and then it got out of hand, and it was just like a thing, and that's kind of where it ended. And yeah,
because Punisher, that's the name of the guy, the Punisher guy, like, he, I think, so there's two things. Like, I think he plays with Aspen, who's the person that was announced later, said this, and then also he was the guy who was playing with Ellie on one of her streams.
Yeah.
Because, like, the initial stream was, like, Punisher and Ellie, look, she's real, she's talking to this guy, like, you know, so...
Yeah.
But it turns out they were the same. They were, well, this, the account he was playing on, that account, the girl is also real, obviously, but not the player. Yeah.
And so yesterday was just a whole unfolding as everybody kind of came forward to try and, like, figure out what was going on. Yeah, because other people
knew about this, apparently, vaguely.
Yeah. Vaguely. Like, Jane made some speculations about, how Ellie came about the same day, like, or, you know, a couple days after the team captain of Second Wind, Haku, made some pretty flaming remarks on his, like, Twitter that women shouldn't be in top 500.
Changed my mind or whatever tweet he made,
and he later apologized for, but, so there was that speculation. And so... It was very much like this. I mean, and we still don't know all the details.
We don't know the details, because we don't even know if it actually is the Punisher guy. It seems like it, because there's, like, leaked DMs and stuff, but...
Yeah, because Slasher reported that there were leaked DMs, because here's the thing. There was a 17-year-old girl involved.
Yes, she is
real. Who was the voice of Ellie.
Yeah.
Not good at Overwatch, not that good, but was, like, the voice or the face of Ellie or whatever.
And we know for a fact that it was not her, you know, like, because the team released a statement that said, like, Ellie was not the person that we thought she was.
Yeah, not the person she thought he was.
And Overwatch League did that, like, right? Like, Overwatch League was the one that did the vetting, and they were like, no, this is not the person.
Yes, because Second Wind had to go into Blizzard and meet with them and sort of hash this out. And Second Wind explained their part of the story, which was... So we were in a bind. We were down players. We needed somebody as a substitute. We picked up Ellie on, you know, we picked up Ellie and we didn't really do a lot of vetting. And we thought that the weird stuff around her was just part of, you know, because she was a woman and we just didn't look too hard into it. And we're really sorry. So it looks like somebody definitely manipulated the fact that the team was not going to look too hard into
because they had just lost a player like a week before signing Ellie, so and it was an important, like, part of that team. It wasn't like a substitute or anything like that, so
so Punisher hasn't said anything, but the stuff that Slasher got was apparently from another woman who was approached by Punisher months ago to do the same thing. So it seems that whoever was behind this account, and there very well could have been multiple dudes behind this account, because an ex Second Wind player named Kaluj also jokingly said, or said that he was also Ellie and was part of that account.
Because it seems like the, at least for the Punisher guy, from what the like, leaked, like, screenshots or whatever say, he was doing it to be like, you know, LOL, I'm beating people as a girl and on the ladder, and it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
And so this is where we are Saturday.
Yeah.
January 5th, is that we don't know how many people were involved in the Ellie account other than... one poor 17-year-old girl and maybe more than one dude who was, you know, a competitive player.
Yeah.
We have a contenders team that was pretty much either duped or, insider manipulated, because it was also speculated that she was referred, you know, Ellie was referred to the team by other teammates. They could have also been in on this.
Because that Haku guy, like, he had that bad tweet, and so people think that, like, Ellie was created to, like, make him look good kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't know. We just don't know.
We don't know. But what we do know is that, well, I guess no one is 100% coming forward. None of this has been 100% confirmed because no one is going on record for an interview yet. Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we'll see more investigative stuff. But it's. I think this is where we're at. This is where the whole of the story is. And now it's kind of like, here's where our feelings kind of come into this.
Yeah.
I spent all yesterday being angry.
because we didn't mention that a lot of the reactions from the recent news were a lot of men or like pro players or whatever people being like, you know, I told you so. Look at this. Like, she obviously wasn't real. Like, don't believe things you see on the internet.
We were right to be skeptical.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I say like bullshit to that because this was always about men disliking women.
Yeah.
Whether they think that women are inauthentic and now they have, you know, quote unquote, a valid reason to think that. And they've always felt like that's a valid reason. This joke and stunt has made it harder for any other woman that wants to join esports, Overwatch League.
Yeah, nobody's going to believe
whatever.
Her.
No one's going to believe her because they already didn't believe Ellie.
Yeah.
Even if it was proven that she was a fake, it's just that initial feeling was there before it was revealed she was a fake.
Yeah.
It's always going to be there. And for me, I don't buy that it was a social experiment. It was not.
Doesn't sound like it.
Sounds like they don't know what that means to me.
Yeah.
It sounds like whoever was behind that account was taking really great pleasure in the joke of being a guy pretending to be a woman to beat other guys because guys in competitive gaming think that that's funny. They think it's funny when they like to demoralize other guys.
Yeah.
And what's the best way to demoralize another guy is by pretending to be a woman and beating him at a competitive game.
Yeah.
Because women can't beat guys, so it's a funny joke. And so miss me with that social experiment bullshit, because this has been men have been taunting each other with like, you hit like a girl, you run like a girl, you throw like a girl since time immemorial. So miss me with that shit that this is a social experiment and not.
I mean, we even get comments in our own games. It's like, oh, yes. Typical girl support mains, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. So people think Kyler's a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's,
I mean, even if I'm not a girl, it's just, I still get that, but yeah.
Yeah, because we play support.
Yeah.
And so this has only ever been about sexism. Whether the skepticism to Ellie, the reaction to Ellie, the fact that her being a fake is going to have this impact now on women, as it's always had an impact on women. It's a bunch of men making shit worse for women.
Yeah.
2019, like every other fucking year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like people do not see the difference of how critical people were of Ellie when she was announced or whatever. Like, I don't know, like people would never talk about like, oh, her calls are late or for like a dude. Like, I don't know, it's just so weird how people seem to forget already instantly how much skepticism there was, because now it's true or whatever. So it's like, oh yeah, it all just makes sense now. But it's like, you don't realize that you went out of your way to do that because she's a woman. Like, I don't know. And it's weird because people don't, it's so rare already to have a woman be like on a team, but also just even like, other than like streamers, it you know, you don't usually hear about the women in top 500 because they're not as like public, I guess. Well, probably for,
they can't be.
Yeah, they can't be.
I when I was writing my Mercy original Mercy article, I spoke to a top 500 support player who mostly played Ana and Lucio and Zarya. And she basically said, men don't like to find out that you're a woman because they take it as an insult to them.
Yeah.
And they throw matches, they get on voice chat and say shit. Yeah, that was another thing that was happening to Ellie
too, by the way.
Yeah,
there was like people saying like, "Are you Ellie?" And she was like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Okay." And they would like wait for the timer in the game and then leave the game, so that way she was down a person and they lost.
Yeah,
because just because she was a woman, like that was before we knew that she wasn't Ellie or whatever. Like this was happening constantly before.
But it happens to women all the time. Yeah. So many women have come out,
and that's because she was public. Alone. My point is like, imagine if Ellie wasn't public, people wouldn't probably do that.
Yeah, like. I know that Avala, who is, I think, the team captain or the owner for a new Overwatch League team.
I think she might be a coach for Washington, D.C.
Coach for Washington, D.C. Yeah. She and as well as D.C.'s owner, Kate, we're both talking about, like, this is how competitive it is for women in the top 500. This is how competitive it is for women all over
Avala
the place. Because
Avala is, like, a top 500 player, I think, and she's a coach now, but, you know, she did play there.
But also, Ballin also talked about how she was treated when she was in Grandmaster. Women at every rank have to deal with this, because the second you get on voice, or the second you are perceived to be a woman or feminine, you get harassment, you get throwers, you get levers, you get all sorts of things, because men don't want to see you succeed. Men take it as an insult that you're there. They take it at, like, it's gatekeeping.
Yeah.
They say that women don't play video games or competitive games, and then they immediately turn around and prove why women don't play competitive games. So it's a very simple system of reinforcing this, like, perceived truth about women and then making it a reality by being so disgusting and volatile and harassing that women don't want to, you know, like, toxic and don't want to stay around. And it's worse at the top because there's a lot fewer women. It's like, you know, like,
and you're in the games with the same people
all the time.
Yeah.
So they start to know who you are. And
structures of the game, like, the game itself is a lot tighter at that level because there's just sort of certain comps you kind of go. So people are just, like, quicker to be, like, angry at each other if they don't follow whatever the meta is or whatever. So, you know.
So they blame losses on you?
Yeah. So it's just, like, and also, like, people, part of the, you know, men thinking women can't be good at the game is, like, people just assume women only play, like, healers or Mercy or whatever. And so, like, when they don't, it's just, like, you know, I guess it's, like, the insult to them and everything. It's just, it's just, like, I could see it being way worse in top 500 versus other ranks. Not that other ranks are not bad, but.
But it's, it's because it's so less, it's not as easy to, like, fade into the background in top 500.
Yeah, you're gonna show up in games. People typically do expect you to talk in top 500 too. More people usually use voice chat there. So,
which is so funny because we've definitely watched streams of top 500 streamers, and not everybody on their team talks.
Yeah,
but you know, like, the idea that you'll lose because a girl is on your team is just mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. And it's because so many men in games still think that women have zero skill.
Yeah.
Zero things to contribute. Zero.
To the point of thinking it's like biological or something. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, women don't have as fast of an ability
reflexes
to perceive
or whatever, right?
Visual
or yeah,
information.
Or whatever. Yeah, like.
Like, women can't buy a lot. And I'm like, my guy, I doubt you perceive visual information as well as expected either. Like, what, do you wear glasses? Like, you're not perceiving visual information
in
your
such
brain
a weird...
faster than I am.
Also, isn't a lot of those, like, aren't those a lot of those studies really old too? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they're old, and they're also biased, and also, like, There's a lot of...
You don't see that, I guess, I mean, it could be a common thing, I guess, but the people to talk about it, I feel like people don't talk about the biological thing that often, but when they do, it's just like, really? Are you listening to yourself? But, yeah. It's like, just because this is not just Overwatch. I mean, like, right? Like, this is the reason this is a thing and nobody believes it is because every other game has been this way. CSGO has been this way. Hearthstone, or right? Like, or not Hearthstone, but Heroes. Yeah. Wasn't there a woman that wasn't a woman?
Magic Amy.
Yeah.
Magic Amy was a woman in Hearthstone, but people didn't believe her.
But there was also somebody, like, acting as a woman in another game. Heroes of the Storm, or was it Hearthstone?
I think it was Heroes of the Storm. I don't
know. One of the Blizzard games. But anyway, I'm just saying, like, the idea that women just aren't good and obviously aren't good has just been a thing.
And
forever.
Faking. Like, they're fake.
Yeah, they're fake. And so, and it's funny to fake yourself as a woman or whatever in a game, competitive game. It's just been a
thing.
It's
the ultimate lulz.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate meme, I guess. And that's also something that's been really hard about following this whole situation is, like, no one going on record, all of this being a joke, all of this being unfolded through Reddit posts and tweets and streamer clips. No one going on record makes this impossible for anybody to believe anything that comes out of any person's mouth.
Yeah.
Because so many people in this competitive scene and streamers and on Reddit think all of this is hilarious.
Yeah.
And will just say pure bullshit if they think it's funny. You know? It sucks because the flip side of this to everybody thinking it's funny is I follow so many women in the Overwatch kind of esports fandom or community or whatever you want to call it, who had to spend all yesterday angry, upset, mocked, harassed. I had 4chan people in my mentions for daring to, like, imply that men are garbage, because they are, and, like, the usual thing of what happens when women get mad about something that happens in games that is sexist. How dare you say that? You're just a man hater. You can't say all men are garbage. You can't say that this is sexism. We were just skeptical. We were just this. We were just that.
You're just
looking
for the truth.
About sexism. Yeah. You don't know anything about sexism. You can't just say everything is sexism and that will be that. And it's like, well, no, we can. I've been playing Blizzard games for like 15 years now. I know what that community looks like. I know what competitive game communities look like. I know what men look like. I know what gamer dudes look like. I've been experiencing this stuff for longer than some of these shitheads have been alive. Like, there's a fundamental and deeply penetrating distrust of women. They don't want them in the community. They don't think they have any value in the community, and they think that they're not going to contribute anything, and they only exist to run out and mock and harass and chastise and talk down to. And I'm sick of it.
Yeah, especially when a lot of these people will say, like, we were just trying to figure out, trying to, like, do the research, when also she got harassed too, regardless of figuring out if she was a good player.
Yeah,
like,
people thought doxing was going to solve this one.
Like, I don't think the death threats that I'm sure she got were because people were wondering if she was real or not. I think it's just because they hate women.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened to Gegory, is that...
Yeah.
So for people who don't remember this, the reason Gegory getting an Overwatch League team spot was such a big deal, number one, because she was the first woman in Overwatch League as a competitor, but also because...
And only
when
still,
she was,
but yeah,
only when she was like 16 or 17, most of the competitive community in South Korea, with some pretty high profile pro players, were so convinced that she was cheating as Zarya because she had an extremely high, I want to say 70 to 80% win rate on Zarya in her competitive games, that they reported her to Blizzard, and she had to be verified by both Blizzard and also Stream for like Inven that she wasn't cheating. And at least one player basically was so incensed by the possibility that she was cheating as a woman that he said that he was going to go over to her house with a knife and stab her, which he later apologized for. But, you know, I'm sorry for threatening your life because I hate you so much because you're a woman. Like, I'm sorry for the death threats. Sorry. Like, several pro players quit because they said if she wasn't cheating, they would quit pro play entirely and they left the community. But she had to stream. This 17-year-old girl had to stream to prove that she was as good as people were seeing on like her streams and stuff like that. And she was also part of a team back then as well. And she like started crying on stream because it was that stressful. And I'm like, yeah, I can totally imagine that. If I was like demanded by the like game, like company that made the game, you know, that I was playing for cheating and I knew I wasn't cheating and I had to like stream to prove like I was actually controlling my mouse the way I was and using my keyboard the way it was and like had to be on face cam and shit, I would also be crying too. That sounds so stressful. You know, just for being good.
Yeah.
And so people forget about that and it's like this all over again, except for the fact that Ellie wasn't real and Giggity is. But it's not about real or not real. It's the perception that it's a woman.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter if it's real or bears out. It's just the perception that it's a woman is enough. And that's why I don't believe that it's just this or just that.
None of this stuff only started yesterday or something.
It didn't. Yeah. Nothing. No, it never does. It never does. And that's what bothers me is people are like, well, we were just going so hard because it was clear that she was could be a fake.
But they can say that now, but that wasn't true. That just wasn't true.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Nobody knew anything. Nothing leaked before yesterday. Like, nobody... I mean, I guess maybe some people knew, but those people weren't saying anything. Like,
the facts from the beginning of this was that you saw a woman with a very short competitive history, and the bigger deal was the woman part.
Yeah.
I guarantee you if there were a guy, quote unquote, came out of nowhere with as short of a competitive record as Ellie did, I don't feel like that skepticism would be this ferocious.
Like, I'm pretty sure, I don't really know 100%, but I know there's definitely been players that have appeared in top 500 and people were like, who is this guy? And I think we like later figured out it was like, oh, they're from Europe, or like, oh, they're a console player that switched and they're good. But like, there were definitely people who was like, who is this guy? But nobody was like, oh my God, he's cheating. He can't be real. Yeah.
Wasn't the number one or number two a couple seasons ago? Yes. Just some random dude that no one
It was
had
like
ever
some like Widowmane or something, but I think that person was from console or something.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And I even thought, I remember hearing about Dufran, because Dufran used to play in Europe. And I thought that when he came to the US, some people didn't know who he was. And people were like, who is this guy who's like suddenly really good in like top 10 or whatever? But I could be wrong about Dufran, but I swear that that happened also with Dufran.
That's ironic you should say that, because Dufran was the one that was so convinced. Yeah. You know, like, he was the one that basically... And that's the thing. A lot of streamers and pro players get to make speculations and people just take them as gospel versus reporters that are trying their best to like report on this stuff and to find out the actual
story and
the truth.
It's hard to report on this stuff too. So
and
when
streamers
you get that,
and pros make it hard to report on this stuff. And that continues the trend of people thinking that because streamers are more authentic and they're real and they're real people sitting there in front of a screen, that they're more trustworthy and that their opinions matter. And like, we're in a Discord for like Overwatch that we started, and most of it's women. So you can guess about what we've been talking about for the last week. But like, we now see a bunch of streamers like having opinions about this like Ellie situation.
Yeah, a lot of them are talking about it now.
And yet a lot of these streamers are like good at Overwatch, but have no understanding of like sexism or structural oppression or how to talk about it, and just are giving their opinion because I mean,
like one of the replies was like from a pro player that was just like XD.
Yeah. Ha ha ha. So funny.
And I've seen other tweets from streamers that are just like, yikes, or like, oh, no comment. Like, okay.
Yeah. And it's like,
so when it gets real, nobody has anything to say or can't.
No. Yeah. Because they're good at Overwatch, and I'll give them that. I'll give all these people that are streaming and pro players and semi-pro players, they're good at Overwatch. I don't know why people are going to them for a comment, because typically when you go to go for a comment from somebody, you want to talk to somebody who is either an expert or has experience with it.
Yeah.
And guess what? A lot of these people are guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they have nothing good to say about this because guess what? They have no idea what it's like to be a woman in the gaming community. You're just good at Overwatch. Like that's, you know, and women have been saying this so many years. Like so many years. They've been saying this shit for so many years, and yet we still continue to not listen to them about how competitive gaming scenes look like and how they're constantly distrusted and how they're not considered authentic and how they're considered not skillful. And yet we keep going to like, you know, streamer Joe on Twitch and asking, well, what do you think about this situation where this guy was pretending to be a woman? Like, yeah, I don't know what that's going to accomplish.
Some people, like, I feel like the women streamers are like better about it, obviously, but like, I don't know, you just see some streamers that are like not even like necessarily like terrible, terrible dudes, but still just like, or either like barely saying anything about it or just being like, well, yeah, I guess she was fake, so I guess it was all warranted. Or, you know, like it just seems like nobody's thinking about it as, exactly. Yeah, I guess, yeah. And I'm not surprised.
Because they don't have to.
What you're just saying, but it's just like, I don't know. You like at least learn from this that it clearly wasn't about her being fake, but nobody, it seems like a lot of people aren't taking that away from it, I guess.
Because I think the larger problem is that for people whose income and audience is dependent on Overwatch being profitable, they don't want to say anything that's too politically out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's
funny that like,
that's a bigger problem, women, too, because that applies to more than just Overwatch.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, that's Twitch streaming,
streaming,
YouTube content creators in general is, like, no one wants to come out and be the, like, gamer person that's like, well, gaming is sexist, and it's garbage.
Yeah.
Because their audience is going to just turn right around and be like, oh, you're just a fucking feminist. You're just, you're just a social justice warrior. You're fucking virtue signaling or blah, blah, blah.
It's getting weirder,
know?
Too, because now Blizzard is having these people stream for them at their offices.
Yes.
Right? Yep. So.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's some type of contract, maybe. I don't know. There's got to be something, right? So it's like, might be a little weird if like some streamer that just streamed at the offices says something like that. So.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I don't know the specifics, but
Blizzard has also had a track record of being politically neutral on a lot of things because it wouldn't help to piss off their player base, who largely is also bigoted assholes that think women are,
which is scary because the stuff at Blizzard right now are, you know.
Yeah,
like that.
Blizzard's
just
not
be,
doing so hot either.
Yeah, but the them not doing hot and them maybe looking a little bit more desperate than ever before.
Yeah.
It's just worrisome because this looks, that attitude could just be very like a little bit more like clear again, where it seemed like, I mean, not that it wasn't there for a while, but you know, it just seems like maybe it'd be easier for them to just sort of accept everyone again because they need money apparently.
I know. I just lost my train of thought. I think what sums this up a lot for me is a pretty prominent woman in the Overwatch community saying, like, hey, you need to believe women and stuff like that. And Nate Nanzer, the commissioner of the Overwatch League, retweeting it and saying nothing else.
Yeah.
When he is the guy who could do the most about this situation and because should he'll have tweet done at the most.
Somebody writing a story about, like, you know, like the hours of, like, practicing in Overwatch and how, like, the toll of, like, the stress and toll of, like, playing in Overwatch League. He'll reply to somebody, but he only retweets, like, a woman.
The thing about treating women like women, you know, like human beings, versus, like, where is Overwatch's league position in all of this? They obviously met with Second Wind yesterday, but we have heard no announcement about what came of that meeting, what happened, what was discussed. They have not.
I don't think we will, really. I kind of feel like we won't.
I don't think we will.
Yeah.
But it's also like, are they going to do anything about this so this never happens again? We don't know. Yeah. We really don't know. And that throws the whole... It throws open so many little places where, once again, we see how not being firm on how your organization operates isn't letting in, like, you know, what the community really feels, which is like, oh, low-skill people who didn't earn their way in there. No, it lets bad actors operate.
Yeah, because it's saying it's okay in a way. Like, you're not condemning or anything, so you're basically just, or like, giving solutions to how you could do better. It's just like, I guess that happened.
No one important is going on the record and saying that this was a horrendous thing to do, and that women need to be believed, and that people pretending to be women as a joke is disgusting, and, like, you know,
we don't,
like,
even know if the whoever was playing as Ellie, if it's the Punisher guy or not, if he is going to be punished.
Yeah, like, he should be banned.
He could just be, like, playing still. Like, yeah, like, who? I mean, we don't know. I mean, he could have had, but we don't know because no one's saying anything. Nice to know. They released a list of people who get punished in Overwatch League. You know, they're going to have a list of people, like, we should hear about it.
For boosting and toxicity and throwing and things like that. But, you know, like, I don't know. I know this was a very depressing first episode for the year, and we're sorry about that. But this was, like, such a big thing. And it ties into so many other deeper narratives in the gaming community as to how we talk about authenticity and skill and gender. And it was just kind of important that we kind of, like, I don't know, get it off our chest or whatever, because I was just so angry yesterday. I was so angry about, like, stupid shit. You know, like, I don't even watch Contenders, but it's because this really isn't about Contenders. This is about how the community as a whole treats women like garbage shit.
Well, and then I think it's important because season 2 is starting of Overwatch League next month. There's 8 new teams. None of them have women. I mean, there are women in, like, the orgs, right? But, like, not players.
Yeah. They're coaches, they're social media, they're owners, they're cap, like, you know, like, coaches, owners, PR, that
which
sort
is
of thing.
Normal,
but not
already, too, so, you know, that's cool. I'm not saying...
That's definitely cool.
Yeah.
But no competitors.
No competitors. So...
No competitors.
There are a lot of new, like, teams that have streamers that are women, but...
But
not players. Yeah. Which is just
because the ladder is hostile. The organizations are hostile. Like, you know, we had the whole situation where one of the coaches, Flame for Houston Outlaws, was like, oh gosh, well, I see men being garbage to women in competitive games all the time. I just, you know, there really might be something to that.
Oh my God.
He was the guy that several months ago was like, well, we couldn't take Gigory on our team because mixed gender team houses.
Oh my God. Okay.
So
I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Feminist icon. I stan a feminist dude like him. You know, like, so it's something that needs to be an ongoing conversation within the Overwatch community and the esports community and the gaming community. So I think that's probably all we have to say about that. Ah,
I mean, there's a lot to say still, but it's just forever a thing, so.
It's forever a thing, you know. Stay vigilant, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Tyler, where can we find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Tyler Culp, TylerColp. I also write for Blizzard Watch. That's just blizzardwatch.com. I also stream for them, twitch.tv/blizzardwatch. Yeah, I still have a bunch of like Overwatch stuff on Fanbyte if you want to read it, like a guide about like Moira and stuff. I have some guides on there, so you can check those out.
Okay. And you can find me on Twitter at Apple Cider Witch. On Twitch is Apple Cider Witch. I also stream for Blizzard Watch, twitch.tv/blizzardwatch. If you like the show, you can follow us on Twitter, which is MISFcast on Twitter. If you want to send us a question, you can write us a question at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com. That's all one word. If you like the show, please rate and review us on iTunes. Also tell your friends, tweet about it, retweet, post it on Facebook, wherever, Facebook, you know, yeah. Post on Instagram. Yeah. Yeah, like whatever. The word of mouth is definitely the only way that we really get out there, and it means a whole lot to us. We love to see the discussion in the community. We love to see our fans, you know, having a good time and listening to our stuff. And our intro and outro music is done by Maddie Myers, and you can find everything she does at middymyers.net. That's MIDIMYERS.net. Also, she had a lot of really great tweets this week about the Ellie situation Yeah, we'll link those. If you should go follow her as well. She is Mindy Myers as well on Twitter, so you should follow her. She's very smart and knows a lot about esports.
Yeah.
And fighting games.
Yeah.
If you like that, you follow her. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.